going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Live from the palatial yet not overly ostentatious studios of the Infinity Sports Network here in beautiful New York City, sitting on top of the 10th floor of 345 Hudson Street. Welcome on into a Football Friday edition of the Zach Gelb Show across all of your local Infinity Sports Network affiliates, SiriusXM Channel 375, the free Odyssey app, and as always, streaming live on YouTube. 888-710-4ISN is the number to jump on in. That's 888-710-4476. You could always get at me on Instagram, where I'm straight flexing, or via the good old cesspool of Twitter, at Zach Gelb. That's ZACHGELB. I think we're all in a pretty good mood today. I had a wonderful lunch with former first-round pick and Dominique Easley. You know, he was in town. He said, hit me up. We want to go do lunch and catch up a bit. So we had a Minetta Tavern. So I had a big fat burger at about 1 p.m. Eastern time, then made my way, waddled my way into the studio. And I look around our show crew today. Stu looks like he's smiling, because he got Ashton Jeanty, which was expected, then became unexpected, then was back to being expected. And Samter, there could be a line of thinking with his Jets. It's almost impossible to remember all the teams that Samter roots for, but I think he's a Jet fan. There could be a line of thinking of maybe go with Tyler Warren, but they end up going with Armin Membu, and you can't be that upset. And then my football team, alligator's my favorite food. I walked into the restaurant today and I go, you don't have alligator burgers? You don't got a side of alligator? Because I'm all in with Mr. Alligator Arms and Will Campbell going to the New England Patriots. So I think our teams did well. There are some teams that did better. There are a lot of teams that did worse. We will break it down all throughout the next 3 hours as we do say goodbye to you today at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific time. Mark Ross is going to join us coming up at 4:20 p.m. Eastern time today, 1:20 p.m. Pacific. Okay, let's start out with the biggest story of the night. And can I have a critique of people criticizing the draft coverage real quickly, if that makes sense? If your take after last night is, enough of Mel Kiper, suck it up to Shedeur Sanders, or why did ESPN spend 4 or 5 hours talking about Shedeur Sanders, I understand it could have been a little bit of an overload. I understand it could be a little Shedeur Sanders fatigue. But what else did you want them to talk about? Because if you had a brain, if you had a pulse, if you could understand the feel of the moment and the sexiness of this draft, what was the biggest story going into draft night? What was the thing that we had no clue what to expect? It was where the heck Shedeur Sanders was going to go. And yes, there was a little excitement right at the top of the draft. We knew that Cam Ward was going number one to the Tennessee Titans. We had it leak out a little bit. I'll give credit to Peter Schrager. I'll give credit to Diana Russini. They had all the information on the Browns potentially trading out of the number two spot. I sat here and I was like, is this just smoke? Is there actually going to be a fire? What's going to happen? And the Jaguars gave up a haul to go get Travis Hunter. And then the Cleveland Browns did fall back all the way to 5. Cleveland does pick today to kick off the second round at 33-36. That could be a Shedeur Sanders destination. More on that in just a second. But they did get Mason Graham, who I thought was the third best player in the draft. They got Mason Graham at 5. So those were the fireworks. That was the explosive stuff for the draft. The big moment, if you had to do a non-Shedeur Sanders story, was obviously the Jaguars-Browns trade. With that being said, the biggest story by far and away from this draft is that Shedeur Sanders didn't go in the first round. Like, think about where we were a month ago. Legitimate conversations. Hey, is Shedeur Sanders going to be the second overall pick? Then, oh, is Shedeur Sanders going to be the third overall pick? Then, oh, even if the Browns and Giants say no, Stu was getting ready to get a Shedeur Sanders jersey at 6. Then it was, oh, the Browns aren't going to take him. The Giants aren't going to take him. The Raiders aren't going to take him. Maybe the Saints, right? At 9. That's probably the farthest he's going to go. Oh, nope, not going to be the Saints. Then, oh, okay, Pittsburgh, right? Are they really going to take Aaron Rodgers' word? They're going to take that for what it's worth. They're going to actually believe that Aaron Rodgers is a done deal. And even so, wouldn't you rather get your potentially your next franchise quarterback at 21 when he is free-falling to you? When he is going right there to you? Oh, but even if the Steelers are going to take him at 21, maybe the Giants, maybe the Browns would come back up and usurp the Steelers. Well, 21 picks did come and go, and Shedeur Sanders didn't get drafted. All right, by the end of 32, he's got to go, right? Oh, the Giants make a trade. Is this Shedeur Sanders? Survey says, ends up being Jackson Dart. Think about that. We had two quarterbacks go in the first round last night. That's not surprising. The two quarterbacks, though, being Cam Ward and Jackson Dart, that is surprising. Shedeur Sanders, even though I said it yesterday, and I wasn't right on it, but I did preface it by saying, I feel like he's fallen out of the first round, but I also believe that the Steelers take him at 21. I thought Mike Tomlin was going to do it. I really did. But he fell out of the first round. And I'm not going to sit here and act like I'm not surprised, I'm not stunned, I'm not shocked that Shedeur Sanders, who at one time was legitimately debated on if he's the best quarterback in this draft class, and could he be potentially number one overall pick, to then, oh, he could be the number two overall pick. Oh, then he could be 3. Then he could be 6. Then he could be 9. Then he could be 21. We're sitting here through the first 32 picks of the draft, and Shedeur Sanders didn't go. So my question is, what do you make of that? Number one, I think a lot of the analysis is ridiculous. I don't understand the character concerns with Shedeur Sanders. Shedeur Sanders never got in trouble off the field. Now, if you're going to say the character concerns are Deion Sanders, Coach Prime, is his father, so then there's a lot of coaches who have some insecurities that if Shedeur is getting drafted, if he goes to a bad team, the moment that team doesn't play well, then they're going to say, oh, get rid of the coach, whether it's Kevin Stefanski, get rid of Brian Daboll, get rid of Kellen Moore, get rid of whoever the coach may be, and bring in Coach Prime. Like, the idea that Shedeur Sanders gives a terrible interview, I just don't buy it. I don't. The idea that Shedeur Sanders, you can't draft him because he's brash and arrogant, why is that a problem? 99.9% of quarterbacks that end up succeeding have an overwhelming amount of confidence. They walk around like they are top dog because they are the top dog. And they'll let you know it. So Shedeur Sanders not going in the first round. Maybe I'll channel my inner Mel Kiper here. I think it's ridiculous. I think it's absurd. And I'm not telling you Shedeur is going to be a top 5 quarterback in the league. I'm not. But he had a garbage offensive line at Colorado. He did a good job extending the play. Sometimes he did hold on to the ball way too long. And there were some completions that he had in college that, let's be real, they will get intercepted in the NFL. But Shedeur Sanders is a good pocket passing quarterback. Shedeur Sanders has good timing. Shedeur Sanders has good accuracy. And I think he could be a good quarterback in the NFL. So this idea that he wasn't worthy of going in the first 32 picks of the draft, I think people got scared off of just things that are, I don't want to say out, of Shador Sanders' control. But you know what? It's almost like they got scared off of Coach Prime. And quite frankly, I never really believed in any of that stuff. But now this guy doesn't go in the first 32 picks of the draft. Like, what college football were we watching last year? What college football were you watching? I know he's going up against the SEC, where Jackson Dart should be the second quarterback in this draft. Quite frankly, if I was a team, let's say you can't get Cam Ward, and you had to trade back up, like how the Giants did, to go get a quarterback, I would have taken two quarterbacks before I would have taken Jackson Dart easily, without hesitation. One would be Shador Sanders, and the other would have been Jalen Milroe. So now we get into who will regret passing on Shador. Right now, I think there's two obvious teams. I think the Giants made a mistake passing on Shador Sanders last night. Now, I love the first selection at three. The Giants at three getting Abdul Carter, I think they got the best player in the draft. Let me be abundantly clear on that. But you know what the Giants did? The Giants sat down at a good New York City restaurant. The appetizers came out. The appetizer was Abdul Carter. And, oh, it's the greatest appetizer in the world. And then you're sitting down, and the appetizer's finished. You're in a good mood. You're having a drink. You're waiting for the main course. And as you're waiting for the main course to come on out, you see a rat run out of the kitchen. And that's what I equate to the Giants doing, trading back up and taking Jackson Dart. To me, it ruined their first round. It got off to such a great start. I was ready for the filet mignon. I was ready for the dessert, maybe a chocolate chip cookie with the scoop of ice cream. I was ready to have a great meal. And if they would have just traded up and taken Shador Sanders, or even Jalen Milroe, even though I much rather take Shador Sanders with that pick, I would have praised the Giants. I would have said the Giants are the biggest winner in the draft. And hey, is there a chance Joe Shane and Brian Daboll get it right with Jackson Dart? Yes. But I'm not one of these talk show hosts that don't watch college football. I watch a ton of college football. I watched a ton of Ole Miss this year. And I never looked at Jackson Dart and thought to myself, wow, that's a franchise quarterback. Wow, that's a guy that should be a first-round pick in the NFL draft. Go look at the end up against Florida. Go look how they won that game up against Georgia. It was because of their defense. So I was never thoroughly impressed with Jackson Dart, and I think he's a product of Lane Kiffin's system, and he doesn't come off to me as someone that's going to turn around this terrible dreck of a franchise that the New York Giants have become. I would have much rather placed my eggs in the basket of one Shador Sanders. And if you tell me, oh, they just didn't want Shador Sanders, then I would have taken the riskier quarterback, the higher ceiling quarterback in a Jalen Milroe, where you know he could run the crap out of the football. He has a bazooka of an arm, but can he find the middle ground in his game? Because as I've told you 9,000 times, Jalen Milroe, it's either he plays great or he plays horribly. So that's what the Giants did. They had the appetizer in Abdul Carter. It was delicious. Then you're waiting for the main course. Oh, the main course is taking a while coming out. And you saw a rat scurry right out of the kitchen. And that's Jackson Dart. Nothing but the best to him. I hope he succeeds. I just got to give you my opinion. And I don't believe Jackson Dart was the second best quarterback in this draft class. And it's inconceivable to me that the Giants would prefer Jackson Dart over Shador Sanders. I think another team that messed up last night is the Pittsburgh Steelers. So what, you're going to bring in Aaron Rodgers now. And it would really be something if Aaron Rodgers doesn't go there now and he retires. But you're going to go with Aaron Rodgers. I'm assuming George Pickens is going to be there, even though there's been some pushback. You have DK Metcalf. I would expect your defense to bounce back. You no longer have Najee Harris, and your offensive line is still a question mark. So don't get me wrong. You're the big defensive tackle, Derek Harmon, out of Oregon. Like, I can't crush that pick. But if you're the Steelers, and you have a guy that we legitimately talked about, even if he was never going at 1, 2, or 3, but those are legitimate conversations. You're going to pass up on a quarterback there at 21 when supposedly, and I guess it wasn't true, that Mike Tomlin was a big fan of Shador Sanders. It's why the Steelers have become the Steelers. They're not your grandfather's Steelers anymore, folks. They're not. This Pittsburgh Steeler organization, we used to associate them with winning Super Bowls. Heck, they're tied for the most Super Bowl championships in the history of the league. They haven't won a damn playoff game since the 2016 season. So in the Shador Sanders sweepstakes, right? Like at 2, at 3, and I know the Browns eventually traded back. I understand passing on Shador there. I could even come around to that when the Browns and Giants did it with their first selections. The Raiders at 6, okay, you like Ashton Jeanty, that's fine. You now look at the Saints at 9, you wanted to go with an offensive lineman, okay. But the Steelers passing on Shador at 21 makes no damn sense. The Giants trading back up to 25 and passing on Shador Sanders makes no damn sense. And now we're going to see those other teams that we mentioned, the Browns, the Raiders, and the Saints, will they make that same mistake twice? And for the Browns, maybe even three times. Because Cleveland has the 33rd pick, the 36th pick tonight. The Saints have the 40th pick, and the Raiders are picking before them at 37. Will any of those teams go move on up? Or actually, they don't have to move on up. Like, if you're the Browns and you want him, you get him. But after that, then the other teams can move up. Or could you stay put? And will you take Shador Sanders if he's there? That's my question. Where is Shador Sanders going to go tonight? Alrighty, it does tie in with our next topic. Browns, Jaguars. I'll give you my trade reaction and what the Browns could do tonight as they are picking at 33 and 36. And they also got an additional first round pick for next year from the Jacksonville Jaguars as the Jags did trade up to 2 to go get Travis Hunter. Will Cleveland take Shador Sanders tonight? Should they? Or should they wait until next year to go make their call and really plant the flag in the ground? Can you do that in Ohio? It's always a controversial subject. Now they're relying on a Michigan man on that defensive line, by the way. But will they then put the flag in the ground next year on a quarterback potentially in the NFL draft? We're talking NFL draft. You want to chime on in? 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Browns Jaguars talk next.
Hey, it's me, Paige DeSorbo, and I'm so excited to share my new shoe collection at DSW, filled with my favorite styles and trends for spring. Because if you know me, you know I'm kind of obsessed with shoes. And by kind of obsessed, I mean head over heels. You're going to love these shoes. So snag super cute styles like cute flats, fun heels, and cool sneakers from the Paige DeSorbo collection right now at your DSW store or dsw.com.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth-shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
All righty, so there was so much speculation last night. Like, an hour and a half before the draft started, right as we were kind of getting off the air, some of this stuff really started to leak out, that there was a growing amount of buzz on the possibility of the Browns trading the pick. And then right as we were getting off the air, I remember I read something where it's like, oh, the Jaguars are going to be aggressive tonight. And when I read that, I go, oh, that probably means Ashton Jeanty, right? Well, no. Because remember, Jeanty was talked about the last 48 hours leading up to the draft, too. And that surprised a lot of people, which made Stu thinking he wasn't going to get his guy, Ashton Jeanty, who eventually got. It was the Jaguars trading all the way up to 2 to go get Travis Hunter. Now, before the deal came on out, which it was great television, by the way, you went right from Cam Ward getting drafted to, congratulations to Cam Ward, but we got breaking news. Here's Adam Schefter. And Adam Schefter gave the details of the trade. I'll ask this question, though, Stu. As you were getting ready for the draft, did you actually believe that this deal was going to go down? When we got off the air, because that was the last thing I asked before we got off the air yesterday, and we were a resounding, no, 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 the Jaguars weren't moving up to 2. We're not buying the Browns, moving off of it. And I remember even saying, oh, like, I think I said, if this is Alabama Ole Miss playing, like, we're all picking Alabama as the college game day graphic. Hopefully it's not Ole Miss that ends up being the case. Did you think that this was actually going to go down once we got off the air until the draft started?
I did not. I was kind of skeptical of it happening. I thought the Browns were going to keep the pick and then draft Travis Hunter.
Samter, were you buying it when we were 30 minutes, 20 minutes out from the draft and the first pick goes? Were you buying that the Jaguars were going to move up from 5 to 2? Were you actually believing that was going to go on down?
Yeah, there was a lot of smoke around that between Diana Russini's report earlier in the day and then just one thing after another that just kind of made it feel feasible. So, yeah, it made sense.
So when the draft started, I'll be honest, going into the draft, like 30 minutes before I go, this is going to happen. Then when the draft started and we had no news and everyone knew that Cam Ward was going to be the number one overall pick, I'm like, eh, I think this is just a bunch of smoke and it's going to blow right over and that's going to be it. And then boom, you get Adam Schefter. The Browns are trading the number 2 overall pick, a 4th round pick, number 104, and a 6th round pick, number 200 to the Jaguars. The Jaguars are trading pick number 5, which ended up being Mason Graham, a 2nd-round pick, number 36, which we'll see get called early tonight, a 4th-round pick, number 126, and their 2026 first-round pick to the Browns. So when that happened, and you see that graphic, not how it aged today and what you may think about it today, but in the moment, Stu, your reaction to that deal was what?
Immediate reaction was Jaguars gave up way too much.
Okay. Santa, your immediate reaction was what?
100%. Browns got a huge deal to move back 2 picks. They got a second and an extra first. It was, to me, brilliant by the Browns.
So my reaction was I didn't like it. My first reaction was I did not like the Cleveland Browns passing up on a generational talent, even though I think Travis Hunter is the second best player in this draft and Mason Graham was 3. I don't think anyone's calling Mason Graham generational. We were calling Travis Hunter generational, and you go from 2 to 5. I'm sitting there and I'm thinking to myself, oh, Cleveland's passing on another big time talent. That's what I'm thinking. And it was Dimitroff, right, the other day, who even talked about moving up to go get Julio Jones. I'm pretty sure they made that deal with the Cleveland Browns. And that's what I'm sitting there thinking. But as the draft did go on, and there is a guy by the name of Shedeur Sanders that is still on the board. And when the first round did come and go, and I'm sitting there, I went from I didn't like it to I'm indifferent about it to let me wait until the draft is over. I was sitting there, and I was doing instant reaction videos. I pumped out a bunch of them. I absolutely hated the Chicago Bears passing on Tyler Warren at 10. Hated it. Was incensed about it. I gave you other commentary throughout the night, you know, with some other picks as well. I gave some commentary on the Jaguars and the Browns, but it was really the uncertainty of the Browns. And I think even the video that I came on out and said was, I need to see what they do with their quarterback But the big question here, and what I'm fascinated to see, will the Cleveland Browns take a quarterback within their first two picks? Will they trade back up to get one? And I mean the first two rounds of picks, because they got an additional second round pick. Or are they stockpiling a future asset in a first round pick where, let's be real, the Jaguars could be terrible this year. The Jaguars could also be a middle of the road team and be like 8 or 9 wins. Like, I think their floor is 5, their ceiling is 10. That's a pretty big range, especially when it gets to the NFL draft. I think 10's the most optimistic that optimistic could be. So I'm not anticipating that pick is definitely going to be in the top 5 next year. But if, let's say, who the Browns, by the way, on their own first round pick could have the number 1 slot. Let's say next year they're picking at 2 or 3. Having that extra first round pick, which could be in the top 15, could be used as ammunition if there's a team at 1 that wants to trade up, or if next year it turns out to be the Caleb Williams, the Jaden Daniels, the Drake May, where you just see quarterbacks go boom, boom, boom. You get a quarterback early in the first 3 and then 1 later. But I still thought to myself, and I still think this right now, I'm uncertain if they're going to take a quarterback tonight or not. I really am. But if this is the plan, with how many resources you lost going for that bum in Deshaun Watson, let's be real. I don't usually like to call guys bums. Deshaun Watson is a bum. All right? I have no respect for that guy. But with all the resources they gave up for Deshaun Watson, remember we used to talk about the Browns having like a really good roster? Well, they have to fix that roster now. So you were able to keep Myles Garrett. You drafted Mason Graham. Mason Graham, I think, is the 3rd best player in the draft. I am so fascinated by what's going to happen tonight at 33 and 36. Because, for example, could you see the Cleveland Browns tonight at 33 go Henderson, the Ohio State running back, and then on the other side go at 36, Will Johnson, the corner? Or could they go Henderson at running back and take the Missouri wide receiver? Right? There's like so many non-things that you could do. Mike Green, if you want to go another edge rusher, the guy out of Marshall. Could you go build up the roster right now and build back up the roster and get 3 picks in the first 36 that people be like, yeah, check, check, and check. I like them. Even though it means that you didn't get Travis Hunter and you get an additional first round pick next year with your first round pick that you have. I'd be fine with that. I would be okay with that. But if I'm running the Cleveland Browns, I'm not assuming that you're getting a quarterback next year. Like, you may have to take one. But right now, if people tell me Nussmeier and Arch Manning, right, and all these other quarterbacks, this time last year, who were we talking about being the number 1 quarterback in this draft class? Carson Beck. Carson Beck's not even still at Georgia. He transferred to Miami and let a Cavender get away. All right? So you don't know how this is going to play out. And if the idea is that, oh, the Browns are setting themselves up to tank and the Browns are going to get Arch Manning, how many times have we talked about Arch Manning has not been a full starter in college yet, and there's not even a guarantee that he's going to enter the 2026 draft? So if I'm Andrew Berry tonight, this is what I would do. I got Mason Graham. I got future assets. I got future resources. At 33 tonight, I'm taking Shador Sanders. You let 34 and 35 play on out, and then you take the best non-quarterback available, obviously because you took Shador Sanders. So you would have Mason Graham, Shador Sanders, and then maybe Green, maybe Johnson, you know, maybe Henderson, Burden. Like, there's a lot of names out there that you could get. And if those are the first 3 picks that you make in the first 36 picks, man, that would be a good draft for the Cleveland Browns. You know what this is? And people hate this on the radio because you want me to give a take, right? You want me to be all in one way or all out the other way. I think this is a win-win deal. And I know people are going to sit there and they're going to criticize the Jacksonville Jaguars, just like how people sat there and criticized the Houston Texans for giving up future assets to go get Will Anderson Jr., which I loved the trade at the time. You got to eventually call your shot. You need an identity in that organization. The Texans found their identity. They also got the quarterback at pick 2. Then they got Will Anderson. So they got the face of their franchise on the offensive side of the ball and defensive side of the ball. The Jaguars right now are kind of an irrelevant, sad franchise. You have Trevor Lawrence, you paid him, but he's still a question mark. You have Brian Thomas Jr. at a breakout rookie season and a sensational rookie season. He's a piece to work with. I don't know if Travis Etienne is in your long-term plans, but he's been solid in the NFL. You got Josh Hines-Allen, who's good. You got Trayvon Walker, not number 1 good, but he's solid. You need a little bit more excitement. You need someone to care about your franchise. You needed a star. And Travis Hunter has the potential to be a two-way star in this league. And you know what? James Gladstone and Liam Cohen, they're different. They're young. I think they're going to let this guy play both ways as much as possible in the NFL world. So I kind of like both moves. I like the Jaguars basically putting their brass cojones on the table and doing something that's unconventional. Jacksonville needs to do something that's unconventional because what they've done for the majority of their franchise's existence, and I know they made two AFC championship games, but most of the times we're talking about the Jaguars early in the draft, hiring a new head coach, hiring a new GM. So I respect this move both ways. For the Jaguars, you called your shot. For the Jaguars, you're trying to become relevant. For the Jaguars, you're trying to get the Shohei Ohtani of the NFL. And then for the Cleveland Browns, you get Mason Graham, who's the third best player in the draft, in my opinion. And now you create intrigue at 33 and 36. I would take Shador, and then I would take another player that is obviously not a quarterback at 36 to beef up your team. That's what I would do. And that would be a heck of a first three picks in the first 36 picks of the draft. But if you don't take a quarterback, then you got two first-round picks for next year, and you're building back up that roster, which that roster was gutted because Deshaun Watson didn't work, and a lot of your players that were good are now older and off the team. So it's rare in sports that you look at something, and I think people want you to be like, this is right, that's wrong, winner, loser, boom, that's over. I wake up today, and I talk today about this move for the Browns and the Jaguars, and I kind of think it's a win-win. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Let's go to Kevin in San Antonio, next up on the Zach Gelb Show. Kevin, what's happening, my man?
Nothing much, man. This draft choice, this draft is a jeopardy. It's like jeopardy. We don't know who is going, like Shador Sanders going to go to. We don't know. You need to play that music, Zach. But boy, you need to play that music when Shador get drafted. And you know, I think that my point of view, I think the Jacksonville Jaguars have sacrificed. That you know, you got to make a sacrifice in the draft in order to get better.
Mm-hmm. And you know what?
And now
there's no more excuses for Trevor Lawrence. You got Brian Thomas last year. You got Travis Hunter now, who could play both ways. Travis Etienne, your college buddy, still on that team. It's time for Trevor Lawrence to be healthy. It's time for Trevor Lawrence to start playing better. And it's time for Trevor Lawrence to start looking like the quarterback that we all touted for all those years. Appreciate the phone call as always, Kev. Let's go to Chris in California. Chris, what do you got cooking for me?
Hey, Zach. Hey, Cleveland needs to go and get Jordan Addison.
Let me guess.
Hey.
Wait, think they should take a quarterback, the Browns?
No.
Oh.
Hey, Shador Sanders should go to the New York Jets. That's where he should go.
Yeah, with Justin Fields being there, I wouldn't be opposed to that because Justin Fields isn't a definite gonna-work quarterback. I would not be opposed to that. Just like I think the Browns not having a definite bona fide quarterback on the roster should also draft a quarterback.
Fairly. There we go. Now you're talking some sense. Now you're talking completely fair now.
What? The Browns should take Shador Sanders or Jalen Milroe?
No.
Well, that's what I just said.
No, you said that the Jets should go for Shador Sanders.
Yeah, but then what did I follow it with? I said the Justin Fields is a question mark.
Hold on.
I just gave you fairness. I said Justin Fields is a question mark, so I have no problem in taking a Shador Sanders if the Jets are there at 42. Hold on, Chris. Let me finish the sentence. Now you be fair. All right, you be fair. You want me to be fair. Now I want you to be fair. Just like how Joe Flacco at his age and Kenny Pickett where he's at right now is not a guarantee. So therefore, I would also consider and I would prefer the Browns to take Shador Sanders at 33. That's fair.
Yeah, no, that's not fair.
Because why not?
We're not talking about...
Well, now you're being unfair because you only think Justin Fields sucks and you think Kenny Pickett's great. You're not being fair. Be fair, Chris. Be fair.
Look at the records. What did Justin Fields do with Cleveland for 3 years? Nothing.
What has Kenny Pickett done in the NFL?
He hasn't had two full seasons with Pittsburgh. He was starting his rookie year in week 4, and then he got hurt his sophomore season in week 12. He hasn't had a fair opportunity, and he had to go behind Jalen Hurts by a biased franchise, very biased. Give Kenny Pickett a fair shot. Go get Jordan Addison.
Jordan, you're not even making any sense anymore, Chris. You're just rambling. You're just rambling, and you're saying stupid things, all right? Like, enough. I have let you call into this show over and over and over again. And if you think that Kenny Pickett has been more successful than Justin Fields so far, you're out of your mind. Justin Fields needs to improve as a thrower of the football. Justin Fields has 45 touchdowns to 31 interceptions. Not great. He also had one season, ran for 1,143 yards, and also had another 8 touchdowns. Now, I don't want to dog Kenny Pickett this way. I don't, because I happen to like Kenny Pickett the person. But Chris is making me say mean things about him. Kenny Pickett has 15 touchdowns and 14 interceptions in his career. Okay? And 5 rushing touchdowns, so we'll give him those as well. But if you're calling in and saying the Jets, and I knew there was going to be some stupid Kenny Pickett point here, but if you're calling in and saying, oh, the Jets need to draft Shedeur Sanders, and you're annoyed that you're saying I'm being unfair, and then when I say, oh, the Browns don't have a definite answer at quarterback, so therefore they should draft Shedeur Sanders as well, oh, then you're being unfair? Come on, Chris. Like, I understand there's a commitment to your bit and there's a commitment to your delusion, but, like, dude, you're on an island right now. On an island. All right? Probably, like, gets off to Kenny Pickett throwing an incompletion in the Super Bowl, for being honest. It is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. We will talk about outside the top 10 when we come on back. I have a bunch of picks outside of the top 10 in the NFL draft that I loved last night. Just in front of me, I marked down 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 7 picks outside of the top 10 that I love. Update time first. Here's Zach. I'm just watching something during the break, and it's actually a genius idea. Stadium Live, they had these two guys, these two content creators, that they were streaming the draft, and whenever the player's name was called, they did an over-under on how long it would take from that player to walk out of the green room and dap up the commissioner. So Travis Hunter, his over-under was 60 seconds. He hit the over last night. But it's funny because he starts to speed up a little bit and the guy that had the over starts losing his mind. Like, hug people! Talk to people! Give him the wrong hat! It's a very good video. I enjoyed watching that during the break. It's time to ask the pros, where you, the listener, gets to ask us a question, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Simply tweet your question at INFSportsNet or at Zach Gelb using the hashtag AskThePros. Be listening later in the show. We might answer your question. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. I'm going to do this right now. So the top 10 last night was Cam Ward to Tennessee. Jacksonville took Travis Hunter trading up. I also love how ESPN lists this for the NFL, or for the NBA, until it becomes official, you have the guy on the podium with the wrong hat in a trade, and it's just an entire mess that we go through each and every year for the NBA draft. Abdul Carter goes 3 to the Giants. My guy Will Campbell goes 4 to the New England Patriots. Mason Graham goes to the Cleveland Browns at 5. Stu, Ashton Jeanthi at 6. You got to be happy, right? You got your guy?
Thrilled. Absolutely elated.
And you want, if Shedeur is there tonight, would you be disappointed if they passed on him?
I'd be disappointed, but okay. I also won't be surprised at this point.
So you're not, where do you think Shedeur's going? Do we think Shedeur's going to the Cleveland Browns tonight with the 33rd pick? Stu?
I feel like maybe not either. I feel like he might slip a little more and it might be someone like the Rams or, I don't know. I honestly don't know what to think at this point.
Samter?
I'll say Rams.
Where do you think Shedeur Sanders is going, Samter?
I think it makes the most sense for the Browns to take him with one of these 2 second-round picks. But like Stu said, I have a feeling that they're just not that into him. I think if they were into him, they would have traded back up into the first round to get him so they could have secured that fifth-year option. Like, kind of like what the Ravens did with Lamar Jackson a few years ago. So I feel like if they liked him, they would have moved up a pick or two, given up like a fifth or sixth to move up 1 or 2 picks with the Chiefs or the Eagles or something and gotten that fifth-year option. So I don't think they're taking him.
So I asked Joe Thomas this, and he said, do you anticipate them drafting Shedeur tonight? Remember, he's announcing the Browns pick. Now, I don't know if he didn't know if it was 33 or 36 or both. And I did remind him, you know, do a pass block set, say this is for Zach, do the here we go Brownies, here we go, and then you announce the pick. So we'll be waiting on Joe Thomas, who says he's going to shout us out tonight at the NFL draft. I don't think it's going to actually happen, but he said it now twice. So I'm just going off the information. But our pal Joe Thomas said, when it comes to Shador Sanders and the Browns at 33, yeah, I wouldn't be shocked if they take him, because now that you're in the second round, you have the opportunity to draft the project quarterback and there's no mandate to start him. So I'll push back on this just a little bit. There's probably no mandate to start him if, let's say, you take him two in the draft. But the moment that Chris in California is not going to like this, the moment Kenny Pickett doesn't play well in the preseason, or he somehow starts week one and he throws an interception, or Joe Flacco's the guy who's won a Super Bowl MVP, like he's going to be the starter in Cleveland, he doesn't play well, or he shows his age, they're going to be calling for Shador. So, like, yeah, could you have weathered that storm for a month potentially? But let's also be real. Shador Sanders is a NFL-ready quarterback. You could may not think that he'll be great, but I don't think this is a guy that is a project that you need to have sit there for 2-3 years. I think he could start a game come September in the NFL. I do. But anyway, when you had this whole NFL draft go underway in the top 10, Cam Ward, Travis Hunter, Abdul Carter, Will Campbell, Mason Graham, Ashton Jeanty, Jets get Armin Mambu, eight, the Carolina Panthers. I don't want to upset his mother because it's not Tet McMillan. They do not want you calling him Tet McMillan. It's Hetero McMillan. 9, Kelvin Banks Jr. to the Saints, and then 10, Colston Loveland to the Bears. I was curious how the rest of the draft was going to go because we focused so much on the top 10 because that's what we think we have the best idea, even though we really have no idea of what's really going to go on. Here are the picks that I loved outside of the top 10. Mykel Williams falling to the 49ers at 11. Isn't that the rich get richer? There's a tremendous amount of upside. That roster is getting older. They could use another pass rusher, which is crazy to even say that where the 49ers were. Mykel Williams out of Georgia going to the 49ers, I loved. I loved the fact that this guy did go early because I thought this guy was a top 15 talent. I didn't know if he was going to go, though, in the first 20 picks. He went inside the top 15. Kenneth Grant going to out of Michigan going to the Miami Dolphins. Love that pick. I think that dude was a stud in college. Him and Mason Graham complemented one another so well. He didn't get enough credit for that team that won a championship at Michigan. I believe Kenneth Grant can be a very good player in the NFL. 14, Tyler Warren, who I thought was the fifth best player in the draft. I told you I had Abdul Carter 1, Travis Hunter 2, Mason Graham 3, Ashton Jeanty 4, Tyler Warren 5. How there was a tight end, and I say this is a Michigan guy, Colston Loveland, that went before Tyler Warren, I didn't get. And how you had, I'm not saying these picks were bad, but how you had the Jets, the Panthers, and the Bears, all three of those teams, all pass up on Tyler Warren. Yeah, I didn't like that. And now the Colts don't have anyone to throw the football to him because Anthony Richardson stinks and Daniel Jones stinks. But you got Michael Pittman, you got Jonathan Taylor, and you got Tyler Warren. What do the Colts need? A quarterback. 15, Jalen Walker falling to the Falcons. He stays in Georgia, right? I think that's phenomenal. I think he's an incredible player. I thought he for sure was going in the top 10 of the NFL draft. And he ends up going to 15, and the Falcons need help on that defensive side of the ball. 19, sneaky good pick. Some people may question the fit because they already have Mike Evans, and they just re-signed Chris Godwin, who's coming off the injury. But Emeka Abuka, who I think is criminally underrated in this draft. I love that he went 19, and I also love that he went to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I don't know what the Bucs are going to be able to do on defense this year, but look at their offense. You got Baker Mayfield, you got Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, when he comes back from injury. You got Emeka Abuka, and then Bucky Irving. Bucky, Bucky, Bucky. You know, Bucky's going to have a lot of touchdowns this year. There's no doubt about that. So I love that pick. Also, Marion Hampton at 22. Some people are like, oh, the Chargers just signed Najee Harris. Why would they take Marion Hampton? Well, look what Harbaugh does. Blake Corum, Donovan Edwards. And Najee Harris may not be a long-term running back there with the Los Angeles Chargers with how many years he's already been in the league. I like getting another weapon for Justin Herbert. Could they have gone wide receiver? Yes. But you could always address that coming up in the second round as well because people say this is a deep wide receiving draft class. And then finally, you know, there's just some teams that they always just find a way to do a certain thing in the draft. And usually, and I just saw Stu mouth that team because he knows where I'm going with this because we're already past 22. But there are some teams that we look at the draft and we go, oh, they're always picking there and they always get it wrong. Stu may now mouth the Raiders. But we don't always think about the positive ways, too. Like, we usually talk about how the Patriots can't draft wide receivers. How that may be different after last night, but the Raiders can never draft anyone in the first round, right? Like, you go through some of these teams, and there's just teams that are, it's just engraved in your mind that they're horrible in the draft. But then there's a team like the Baltimore Ravens. Every year a defensive player falls. A few years ago it was Kyle Hamilton, right? There's always a defensive player that finds their way to the Baltimore Ravens. This year it's Malachi Starks. Now, there was a wide range on him. I think Malachi Starks is going to be a stud. Aaron Murray said that if you took all the Georgia players in the draft this year, he's the guy he's most confident in. That would be the best player, which he thought the world of Mykel Williams. He's thought the world of Jalen Walker as well. It just speaks to what they asked Malachi Starks to do at Georgia and how well he did it. But now think about that. You have Kyle Hamilton at Notre Dame, who's a stud, and Malachi Starks out of Georgia, who's a stud, in the same secondary. The rich just get richer with the Baltimore Ravens. They always find a way to get some heck of a player in the NFL draft. So those are some draft picks outside the top 10. Mykel Williams to the Niners at 11. Kenneth Grant to the Dolphins at 13. Tyler Warren to the Colts at 14. Jalen Walker going to the Falcons at 15. Emeka Ogbuka going to the Buccaneers at 19. Omarion Hampton going 22 to the Los Angeles Chargers. And Malachi Starks going to the Baltimore Ravens at 27. We'll take a break. We'll come on back. We'll update you some of the biggest stories in the world of sports with some audio when we return. It's a news brief in 25 minutes from now. NFL Network analyst Mark Ross will join us.
MLB.tv is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! Woo! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run. Everything baseball, all season long on MLB.tv. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today.
And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.